Lincoln, get hold of tech and science. It's Lincoln Lights. And the podcast series continues with some fascinating insights into the world of biofeedback with Professor David Mulliner, who's with us now. David, good to connect with you. How are you?
Very good. Lovely to be here.
In this particular aspect of Lincoln Lights, we see biofeedback technology improving sport performance. Now, we've often heard tennis players say that actually it's the mind that actually sort of creates the winners. It's the way people can actually control their aspects on this. Share with us your own interest in this field, and does this apply to all sports?
Well, that first part that you mentioned with the psychology, sport is multidisciplinary, so the biofeedback is just one element. And yes, it covers all sports.
And let's break it down, biofeedback, because people are aware of feedback in terms of NSS feedback, in terms of student surveys, in terms of traditional sort of way, in terms of radio station feedback and so on. Biofeedback, just how does it work for the layperson?
Just in terms of taking down the two aspects of the word, bio is biological, and in this instance we refer to that being the human body, and feedback is giving the information back.
So, literally, it's a case of what happens. Now, I'm mindful of the work of Claude Bernard and homeostasis and the milieu interior. Is it building on the work that's there? Because, I mean, our bodies are so wonderful in kind of sorting themselves out and keeping that balance. Is that an aspect that also you've been applying?
Oh, certainly. And there's, in terms of the history of biofeedback, it goes back centuries. Mm. But in the difference now is the technology enables us to give that information in real time and a lot more precise. So when we measure the biological system, we're measuring to sub-millimeter accuracy, and then we actually just give that information back in various forms. And depending on the sport, it'd be whether it's auditory or visual, and the auditory would be suitable for those that have to use vision for where they're performing, so they'd have to listen to auditory signals. But those that don't rely on vision, we can then actually start to give that feedback in a visual format.
Talked about all sports, of course, and Lincoln City have, thanks to the Cowley brothers, had huge success in terms of their elements from this point of view. But presumably this element that you're offering with respect to sports performance, it's literally for everybody, even to your average fast walker, presumably. You can actually use the techniques of biofeedback to look at how they're actually performing.
Yes. What we try to do, because we integrate the technology, something that's quite simple that a coach could identify and maybe use some simple technology. If you wanted to know the speed of the foot when they were making foot contact with the football, we could use a radar device for that. But we try to go a little bit more complicated and try and work out how the body actually generates that speed. And so quite often that's how the hip, knee and ankle move in a sequence. And if they move in the correct sequence, you'll actually achieve a faster foot velocity. So we actually try to give feedback about that sequencing.
And is there a danger of almost overthinking the policy? Because athletes often talk about being in the zone and effectively getting to the stage of almost transcendentalism, where they effectively are constantly scoring well, making the actual shots, etc. How does the biofeedback kind of offset and enhance rather than possibly provide confusion for athletes?
The enhancement comes from, because we are such complicated beings, and again, I just focus on the movement sequence rather than the in the zone quite often refers to more the psychological perspective. We find that they haven't, the system is complicated, so that if we let them try and self-organize, they get to a certain level of achievement, but then they can't get to the next level. And that's where we try to use the technology just to give them that direction. And what we do find is that they learn quite quickly, but they don't become dependent on the technology. So once we've shown them what might be a good way to perform a movement, they tend to, if we bring them back 5 months later and look at them again, they've retained that information without us interfering with them.
So it's a bit like a golfer having the right grip for the golf club, really, which I've always found a fascinating sort of exercise in itself, really, actually how to take a golf club and actually hold it correctly. But from that point of view, what can people expect from the events that you're running with respect to Lincoln Lights? I mean, in terms of this, an activity that you're running which is suitable for people of all ages, what are the key things that they can anticipate?
So on the day, we'll be based in our biomechanics laboratory in the Human Performance Centre. So you go into the sports centre and then head off to the right, and then our laboratories are in there. And the biomechanics laboratory is an open space. It's like a small sports hall, about the size of a tennis court. And we'll have a number of cameras set up. And those cameras are, we have 17 of them. They sample up to 10,000 frames per second. So we obviously won't need that much data on the day. We'll probably be working at about 100 pictures a second. We then place small, what we call retroreflective markers. And the retroreflective means that light that comes from the cameras actually will only bounce back in the direction that it touches the marker, so it doesn't scatter across the room. And then we track those markers, and we track them to sub-millimeter accuracy. And once we track those markers, we'll then be feeding that into the symbol, into the computers. They'll generate some data, so we might measure the speed of your foot, as an example, if we're going to kick a football, and it will give you that speed in real time as a display on the screen. So people can interact with the system, and we might have some sort of competition to see who can get
what would a sporting experience be without a bit of competition? You're literally getting hold of the technology and the science. Clearly there's the lightsexpo.org, which is the website for all of our activities and so on. Is there a place that people can go to online, David, that perhaps relates to biofeedback technology from your own research perspective?
The easiest place is to find us on the university's homepage. So if you go to www.lincoln.ac.uk/sport, that will take us to our page. And then if you follow the research links, it will take us to the various research groups. And one of those is the biofeedback one, and you'll find information there.
And have you applied biofeedback techniques to your own sporting activities, or are you more a case of a coach and a manager and a sideline cooperator?
Yeah, my own performances aren't brilliant. I try and improve other people's. But we apply it to elite sport, Paralympic sports, to industry as well. We're working in ergonomics and people fitting into cars, and work with animals of various sorts.
And that's
so
really,
anyone who moves, we can measure that movement.
Which is the next real question, because it's the applications. People who are listening to this and thinking, well, that's okay, but I'm more of a couch potato than an athlete. There are lots of other areas in which these techniques could actually be used to really maximise and optimise the best way forward, presumably everything from posture through to the most efficient way of effectively, again, running 100 yards.
Yes, and posture is another one where it's very simple data. Effectively, posture is measured by bathroom scales, but rather than having just one sensor in the bottom, you effectively could have four, one in each corner. And as you move your weight to each corner, you'd see the change in the posture underneath. And because that's a simple signal, that's one we can give feedback on very quickly as well. So if people want to stand steady.
Well, I think, again, from a serious perspective, this also ties into ensuring that you can minimise challenges to one's health and a good posture, making sure that you sort of sit correctly. Certainly, you know, within the academic world and the milieu, we're always told the 20-20 rule when looking at screens. You don't want to spend all your day hunched over a computer screen, tempting though it might be, because it's not good for the overall well-being.
No, yeah, you need to stand up fairly regularly, go and have a break, maybe have water rather than coffee, you don't have too much. But, you know, and that's also been modified as well, so people now have started to use the stand-up treadmills with the desk in front of you, and there's some good evidence to show that being mobile while you're not so much sat at the desk.
Yes, that is an interesting thing. I'm often struck by, surely that's just one stage away from actually putting hamsters on wheels in a human form, really. But perhaps we'd best not go there. That's another line for innovations to work through. David, are there any other sort of elements relating to Lincoln Lights that you'd be interested in yourself, assuming you're not just locked completely into biofeedback technology?
Oh, yeah, there's so much going on in the university. Quite like what's going on in life sciences and what I've seen in art and architecture.
It's always nice to think about cross collaborations as well from that point of view. I'm sure that's a great way in which synergy can actually apply to apparently disparate ideas, creating a third touch of magic.
Yeah, and you know, there's collaborations all the time because we focus on measuring movement. So even if we just had a simple GPS system on someone, that links to architecture because they like to know where people like to move around campus, and you find out where people cut corners and where you need new parts. So the technology and the interaction between lots of different schools was tremendous.